Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul. Hello, everybody. It's Wednesday, June the 3rd, 2021. And I'm so glad to be back with you here after my recent trip to Tennessee. And it's always good to be home. We had a great service Sunday. Enjoyed that. Loving the Song of Solomon, as I hope you are as well. And you don't want to miss this Sunday. As Lord willing, we'll get into the last chapter of Song of Solomon, which will be just the apex of all the great things we've learned so far from the Song of Solomon and God's desire for intimacy for us. But tonight, I want to feed you with the Word of God from Psalm 46. So if you have your Bible, go to Psalm 46. Let's look at this psalm, one of my favorites, because I keep this little thing on my desk here. It comes out of Psalm 46, verse 10. It says, "Be still and know that I'm God." And I use that as a reminder to me to cease striving, trust God that He's leading me and I let Him lead. And so before we begin in Psalm 46, we're going to look at verse 1 again. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank You. We never take for granted Your wonderful presence and the desire You have for us to let the Holy Spirit lead us. And we desire, God, to learn to how to be led by the Holy Spirit. So take us through Your Word. Open it up to us and give us a heart that understands and a heart that's willing to obey everything You reveal to us from Your precious Word. We thank You in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Looking right at Psalm 46, we begin in verse 1. God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, beginning of verse 2. I want to remind you, as I shared with you before, that the words very present in the Hebrew, the two words very, the word very in Hebrew means abundantly, and the word present in the Hebrew literally means to find out. So what this is literally saying to us is that God is our refuge and strength. We're going to find out that He is an abundantly present God right now to help us in the midst of our troubles. So He's abundantly present. Probably Christianity 101 for us begins by us learning and believing that God is present with us all the time. We don't have to have a feeling of His presence, or we don't have to see a manifestation of His presence. We have the promise of His Word that He's always present with us in times of solitude and secret, but also in times when sudden things happen, dangerous things or scary things that try to frighten us. And notice the confidence of the psalmist here in Psalm 46. After making this declaration that God is an abundant presence to me, therefore I will not fear. That's us speaking. We're to speak that part of the Word of God, that we will not fear. We will resist fear. And because we know God is abundantly present with us at all times, even when it appears He's not present with us, He's present with us. And so we walk at a level of faith here, knowing that God is present with us all the time. Now look closely in this psalm, especially in verses 2 and 3. I'm going to read to you. You're going to notice the word though, T-H-O-U-G-H, though, and you're going to see it mentioned four times here in next two verses. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, and though the waters roar and foam, and though the mountains shake with its swelling. And then the word Selah. Four times this word though is used as a point of emphasis to us, and it's describing the very things that would naturally cause fear to come into our lives, though the earth be removed. I mean, something as tragic as that, yet we will not fear. And though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, and the waters of the oceans roar and foam, the mountains shake, and so forth. And so this word though is used four times as an emphasis of things that would naturally cause people fear. And yet we've already declared in verse 1, though even because God is a very present help, we will not fear. And so this psalm is a great psalm to use in your life when fear attacks you, or worry, or things are coming up on your mind about what may or may not happen. Most of the things that people worry about and live in fear about what may happen in the future, you know, never really happen. But some things may. And yet we are to live with such a God confidence that God is with us. He's always an abundant present help to us, no matter what comes our way, that we can keep fear out there and not let it get inside our heart and cause us trouble. So this psalm is very important. It's good to read it out loud to yourself or read it out to a loved one who's facing some fear or uncertainties in life. Psalm 46, if you divide it up, it's only 11 verses. And actually, we have some cards of this printed up and laminated in the church office. And if you ask Jenny for a Psalm 46 card, we'll give you one. And on the back of that card, I'll show you a little technique that I use in helping you to memorize or meditate on that card. Anyway, you can ask Jenny for one of those in the church office, and we'll gladly give you some of those Psalm 46 that are already printed out. But I want you to notice this psalm, 11 verses, is divided up into three parts. It's a good three-part sermon. And it's divided every time by the word Selah, S-E-L-A-H. The word Selah is often used in the Psalms. And what it means, it's a musical, you know, Psalms were really songs that were put to music. We don't have the music, so we don't know what they sounded like. But they were poetic expressions put to songs or music. And the word Selah is a place where, if it was a musical note, it would be the note of rest or to stop or to pause. And not only in the music part, but we need a Selah in our thinking. And this Selah literally means, the word Selah means stop and think about what you just read. So when you read the Psalms, especially Psalm 46, you're to read this section and you'll come to a Selah. Now you're to stop and meditate. Go back and think about what you just read. And this happens three times. Three Selahs, three sections that you're to stop and pause and go back and think about what you just read. Let it really sink in. In fact, the first three verses, then there's a Selah. Someone said that the first three verses of Psalm 46 is like the milk of the word, where you're just beginning. You're understanding in these first three verses that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we're not going to fear, though all this happens, though this happens. It's like it's the milk of the word. It's the beginning. You're getting the milk of the word. You're getting the understanding that God is always with me. No matter what's happening out there, God is with me. That's the beginning point in Christianity, that God is present with me through everything. I'm learning this. So you're on the milk of the word. But then you've got to move from the milk of the word to the meat of the word. And Psalm 46 does that. In verses 4 through 7, there's the second section. And here, it begins to talk about something deeper. And this section is not the milk of the word. This goes on to the meat of the word. Because it begins in verse 4, it says, there is a river. Ah, now we're learning about a river. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. This is talking about the Holy Spirit. Yes, we learn at the beginning of Christianity through the milk of the word that God is present with me all the time. But then we go on and we graduate to the meat of the word and we understand there's a river. And this river is the Holy Spirit that lives now inside of me as where God dwells. And that's what it says, the holy dwelling place of the Most High, which is in me. In verse 4 it says, God is in the midst of her. He's in the midst of this river, which is inside of us who have been born again. And it says, we will not be moved. And so this river, this unshakable kingdom, this river, the Holy Spirit is living now inside of us. And this is all here in Psalm 46. It's showing a graduated process of spiritual maturity and growth. There's a river. So we learn about a river. In fact, I referred to this Sunday, Ezekiel 47, the prophet Ezekiel saw this river. He had a vision of the river of God coming out of the temple of God in heaven under the threshold. And this river poured out, which was the river of God. And everywhere it went, it brought food or it brought medicine. It brought food for nourishment and spiritual growth or healing in the area of our souls. And toward the end of this Ezekiel 47, you see there's different depths of the river. There's different depths of the Holy Spirit. There's different levels that you can grow in. Some people start, when they're starting out, they're just ankle deep in the Holy Spirit. And then there's some that move on to hip deep. And then there's some that graduate to the Holy Spirit being chest deep. And then, of course, the ultimate is to be where you're over your head and you're swimming. You're in the flow of the river of God. This is all symbolic, poetic language of us growing into this place of the river of God in us is flowing out of us. And so it's the kingdom of God within us. And so we see this in Psalm 46. And it says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of all creation is with us, and he is our refuge. That's the second Selah, or the second part of the message in Psalm 46. But there's a third Selah that you're to pause and think deeply about what you've just read, and it's the last part in verses 8 through 11. And then it concludes with the word Selah. Now stop and think about what you've just read. The first section, verses 1 through 3, and then it says Selah, is the milk of the word. The second section, verses 4 through 7, is another Selah. That's the meat of the word. But this last section, oh, it's even deeper. This last section in verses 8 through 11 is the strong meat of the word. And this is where we're supposed to go. This is where we're supposed to mature to. This is the goal that God has for us. And here, it's interesting, you begin to see in verses 8 and following, it says, come and see the works of the Lord. You mature to this place where you begin to see how God works through everything that happens in this life, the good and the bad and the ugly. It's still all under his charge. He can make good come out of bad. He is in control. He is my God. I trust in him, and I'm not going to be afraid. And then it says, come see the works of the Lord, the one who makes desolations in the earth. The things we don't understand, the mysterious ways of God, how he works. He makes wars to cease. He breaks the bows. He cuts the spear. He burns the chariots in fire. He works strangely through the wars and all the things that's going on in the world. God mysteriously uses all this. He's working through it. He didn't cause it, but he's using it. And we mature in the Lord by seeing that God is still in control. He's still in charge. And then my most favorite scripture in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. God says this to us. Another version says, cease striving and know that the Lord is in charge. He's in control. He's on the throne. And so with all this desolation going on in the world and the sea churning up and the mountain shaking and all these things that would make most people afraid and wonder, where is God? In the midst of this, God says, be still. I sense that's what the Lord is saying to you tonight. Something troubling in your heart, something stealing your sleep at night, and something aggravating your soul, and the Spirit of the Lord would say to you, be still. Be still. And cease striving. Know that God is in control. Make yourself be still. Make yourself know this. By speaking out loud, saying of the Lord, he is my refuge. He's my very present help in trouble. God is with me. I will not fear. Speaking out the word of God. Someone said that the written word of God, the Bible that we have, the written word of God was first the spoken word. Because God spoke the word and then it was written. So the written word of God we have was first the spoken word of God, and it became the spoken word of God, so it could become the written word of God, and it's now the written word of God, so that we can take it and we can speak it out of our mouth. So like God spoke the word, we speak the word. It can calm the storms. It can calm you on the inside when the whole earth seems to be falling apart on the outside by you speaking the word of God. God is a very present help in time of trouble. God is my refuge and my strength. Therefore, I will not fear. By you saying that, you're assaulting the atmosphere, especially the demonic realm that's trying to attack your mind with fear. False evidence appearing real, the attacks of the enemy to try to frighten you. And you resist this fear by speaking the word of God back. So God expects us to do what he has showed us he himself has done by speaking his word into the atmosphere and changing the atmosphere. And we can do that too. And most of all, it's important for us to understand how important that faith manifests itself in this world of uncertainty. Genuine faith will manifest itself by you being able to be still because you know God is with you when everybody else is running scared because it seems like the sky is falling. But you, my friend, are not like that. You're in this world to show people what genuine faith in Christ is all about. It makes a difference. It calms you. Quiets you. It gives you the ability to recognize you have authority in the storms that are coming after you. Just like Jesus, who stood up to the storm and he spoke it when the disciples were afraid, thought they were going to perish, and Jesus calmed the storm and said, be still. And you can do that same thing because the same Christ that did that is the one who lives inside you. So I assure you tonight to, I encourage you tonight to take Psalm 46 to bed with you, to quote it to yourself, to read it out loud to yourself, to calm yourself, and give yourself God's peace tonight so that you sleep deeply, wonderfully, and wake up refreshed and rested in the morning, not tormented by the enemy, and not tormented by panic attacks, and not tormented by nightmares. The Lord of hosts is with us. God is with you. You either believe that or you don't. And when you know that he is with you, you say this with confidence. And you calm yourself by saying, be still. You know God is with you. So be still. Cease striving. And know that God is with you. So good reminder. Maybe put it on a little piece of wood like this and keep it there in front of you as I do. I constantly remind myself, I'm not alone. God is with me. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that tonight you get supernatural sleep. God gives his beloved sleep. He made you to live in 24-hour increments, one day at a time. So sometimes you have to remind yourself when your mind gets in a whirl of all the things that you've got to do. You've got to say, whoa, slow down. One day at a time. And Psalm 46 will help you do that. put things in perspective. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present, abundant help in time of trouble. Everything you need for life and godliness has already been provided for you. He's right there with you. Let him lead. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray now for my brothers and sisters who are watching this tonight. I pray that they be helped. I pray they be encouraged. And I pray that they would cooperate with you in calming the storm on the inside, regardless of the storms on the outside. To be still and know that you are God. This is my prayer for them tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I look forward to seeing you Sunday. Good time to invite somebody to come with you. Maybe you got a neighbor or friend or coworker where you could tell them what's going on at Grace Tabernacle and you invite them to come with you. I hope you will. I look forward to seeing you Sunday. Until then, God bless. Bye-bye.